loves you. Doesn't matter where you've come from, God loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, God loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks you grew up on. Doesn't matter the poor choices you made. God loves you.
Hello and welcome to this Monday edition of Destined for Victory with Pastor Paul Shepherd, Senior Pastor of Destiny Christian Fellowship in Fremont, California. Well, as we kick off Easter week here on the program, there's no better place to begin than with that simple three-word statement from Pastor Paul, God loves you. Neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities, neither life nor death can separate us from His love. And the best proof we have is that He sent His Son to live a sacrificial life and die a sacrificial death so that all who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. Now, here's Pastor Paul with today's Destined for Victory message, the miracle of salvation.
Decades ago, Dr. Billy Graham took this one verse and used four profound sentences that I want to share with you and fill them out, and then we'll open up this altar and allow you to come and to respond to God's gift of the miracle of salvation. Number one, the first thing you see in John 3:16 is the cause of salvation. The cause of salvation. For God so loved the world. That's the cause of salvation. Why do you have the opportunity to experience a miracle? Here's the answer. Because God loves you. Because God loves you. It is amazing that of all the major religions in the world, they stress points like the otherness of the deity, whichever one, or in some cases, of the many deities. They stress the otherness. They stress the separation between human and divine, between finite and infinite, that you see consistently. But in Christianity, you see not only an other God, a God who is very unlike us, a God who is very holy when we are very unholy, but you see that holy God, although separated from us by sin, reaching through and reaching down to us because He's not only other, not only holy, but He is love. Oh, I come to tell somebody that God loves you. He can't help Himself. He just loves you. God loves you. Doesn't matter where you've come from, God loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, God loves you. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. Doesn't matter which side of the tracks you grew up on. Doesn't matter the poor choices you made. God loves you. And you know what's so amazing about it is God loves us after knowing us. You know, there are some folk who think they love you till they get. All right, y'all tripping. Let me get you down on the level of reality with me. You ever at some point in your life become infatuated with someone? As a young person, some of the older folk called it puppy love, but it was real to the puppies. And you're infatuated, you're smitten. You ever been smitten by someone? Maybe it's just at the sight of them. Or maybe it's after hearing their conversation or seeing their sparkling personality or their great sense of humor. Whatever it was, something about them rang your bell. Something about them floated your boat. You were infatuated. You were smitten. You were captured. And then you got to know them. And after a while, you were saying, ew. Infatuation does not a relationship make. Get to know them. You hear me say it all the time to singles, get to know them. Don't just hang out in idealistic circumstances and settings. That won't help you get to know them. Don't just meet them at the restaurant. That won't help you get to know them. Everybody look good at the restaurant. How do you get to feel or bad about somebody at the restaurant? They're all sitting up there, food all in front of you. Everybody's happy. You don't know whether they're greedy or not. They're sitting there eating politely. You don't know whether they're going to eat you out of house or home. You don't know how they laugh. They could be one of those folks fall out in the floor, fall out laughing, all rowdy. Voila! You don't know because at the restaurant they're sitting up there. You don't know who that is. See them in real circumstances. Catch them in traffic. Catch them when the job is working their last nerve. See, you can think you love some folk till you get to know them. But God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he loves us better than anyone has ever loved us. The cause of salvation. For God so loved the world. The cost of salvation. That he gave his only begotten son. God so loved you. That's the bottom line. He loves you. Get it in your head. He loves you. And his love provoked him to act in your best interest. You got to understand, love is not permissive. It is not dismissive. Love acts to remedy. You don't love people to death. True love by its nature, because love emanates from a holy God. So true love by its nature has to right wrongs. So when ignorant people, people ignorant of truth, say, well, I can just do anything I want because God loves me. No, you don't understand what love is. Love means when God sees that we are wrong, he can't dismiss it. He's holy. He can't ignore it. He's holy. He has to remedy it. And so what did he do? He paid a price. Love pays whatever price is necessary. Somebody tell you they love you, won't get up off of anything? That's not love. God so loved the world, the cause of salvation, that he gave his one and only son. That's the cost of salvation. God knew that we could never save ourselves. We could never live up to his holy standard. See, this man, Nicodemus, was an expert in the law, but he didn't understand that by the law, you will never measure up to God's holy standard. Because God's holy standard wasn't just represented in the law. The law was just a schoolmaster. The holiness of God exceeds the law. That's what Jesus came preaching. He said, you all think it's about the law. The law was just getting you started. Law just put you in elementary school. Jesus said, and that's why the Sermon on the Mount blew everybody's mind. Jesus said, y'all think it's about murder. I'm telling you it's about hatred in your heart. You all think it's about adultery. I'm telling you it's about lust in your heart. You all think it's about your pride. I'm telling you if somebody slaps you on one face, you've got to have the humility to turn the cheek and let them slap the other one. If they make you walk with their burden a mile, when you get to the end of that mile, you need to tell them, listen, I'll do a second one for you. And imagine how folk responded to that who weren't even living up to the law. And here he's talking about the next level. You know there were folk in the audience saying, oh, please. Yeah, I turned the other cheek, but when I come back around. Yeah, sure, I'll turn the other one. When I come back around, you won't want to be there. That's the way we respond. So God knew we would never measure up. So what did he do? It's absolutely amazing. God became a man. Jesus is the God-man. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. It goes on to say, and the Word became flesh and dwelled among us. That means God wrapped himself up in flesh, entered the world through the womb of a virgin, lived among us, reached out to us to show us the true nature of the Father. That the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin, those fellas, were only showing us a little aspect of God through what they thought the law said about God. But Jesus came to take a clear picture of who God was. Jesus is the best picture God ever took. Jesus didn't dismiss sin, but Jesus came to remedy sin.
We'll be right back with more of today's Destined for Victory message from Pastor Paul Shepherd. Destined for Victory is a listener-supported ministry, one that depends on your prayers and donations to help share the gospel all over the world. When you give this month, be sure to request your copy of Pastor Paul's booklet, 7 Pounds of Grace. I'll tell you more about this great resource after the message. Destined for Victory is available on demand at PastorPaul.net and on the go through the free Destined for Victory mobile app. Search Destined for Victory at the App Store or access the broadcast through Alexa by enabling the Destined for Victory skill. You can also watch selected video clips by subscribing to Pastor Paul on YouTube. And for more details and links to all of Pastor Paul's social media sites, be sure to visit PastorPaul.net. Now let's begin the second half of today's message, The Miracle of Salvation.
He came to remedy our sin. And what an awful price. He not only lived among us, but ultimately he allowed the people he loved to betray him, the disciples to deny him, the Jewish leaders to set up a kangaroo court and to try him and beat him and torture him. If you've ever seen the Passion of the Christ movie, the one thing that you will probably never forget, and yet it was the most realistic to the historical data, is the sheer brutality of the beating Jesus took. Not just a few lashes, ouch. They tortured him to within inches of his natural life. Why did he do that? Who had known no sin? Because he was paying the price for your sin and for mine. That's the cost of salvation. For God so loved the world, the cause, that he gave his only begotten son, the cost, that whosoever believes in him, the condition of salvation. How do I get the miracle? Sounds good to me. I'd love to swap death for life. I'd love to swap forgiveness for being guilty. I would love to swap that. How do I do it? That whosoever believes in him, not whosoever says, all right, I'm going to start going to church. Going to church is a good thing to do after you believed in him so that you can grow in your walk with him and fellowship with people who are joined to him. But going to church does not give you a miracle. In fact, going to some churches will give you a headache. I know, I've been to them. Work your last nerve. Going to church doesn't give you a miracle. Going to church doesn't bring salvation any more than going into a garage makes you a car. Any more than going into McDonald's makes you a Happy Meal. It's just two different things. That whosoever believes in him, not whosoever says, all right, I'm going to do better. If we could live up to God's standard for our lives, Jesus would have stayed in heaven. If we could find true purpose, our divine purpose in life, without a relationship with him, Jesus would have stayed in heaven. If you could become the person God predestined you to be without Jesus' intervention, he would have stayed in heaven. But he came because he had to pay the price. He had to show the love of God ultimately through the sacrifice of his life so that we would have something to believe in. You ever read in the Old Testament the story of the Exodus around this time of year? They typically play the Ten Commandments. I saw that new one. That's truly pitiful. Give me Charlton Heston. Now, if y'all like the new one, God bless you. Go on. But give me Charlton Heston. You know, I didn't even like the God voice in the new one. You know, you hear that new one, that God voice, like he whispering, little pitiful God. Moses. No, I like that one in the Charlton Heston movie, Way Down Deep. I said, that sound like God to me. Let me tell you something. In the Exodus story, one of the things you find is that at one point, those people who constantly disobeyed, constantly provoked God under the law, had to experience the wrath of God. So they experienced various plagues. And one of the plagues they experienced in the wilderness, you remember, was poisonous snakes. And you remember what happened when the snakes were biting them and the poison was surging through their bodies and they would have died. God said, I'm going to show them who I am. I'm not just a God who has to punish sin, but I'm a God who longs to remedy sin. So he told Moses, make a bronze snake, put it up on a pole and tell them whoever looks. You can't do anything. You're dying of poison. But if you can get your eyes lifted up and with a heart of faith, if you can look. Look at that bronze snake on a pole. If you'll look, you'll live. I come to tell you, you want a miracle, you can't work for it. Your works are no good. When it comes to pleasing a holy God, the only thing you can do is believe that that one on the tree, that one between two common thieves, hung there not for his sin, he hung there for your sin. That whosoever believes in him, that is, puts his or her trust, that what he did to change my life and to give me a miracle. I'm a sinner. That's a given. There's no hope of pleasing God in my own merits. That's a given. Then what can I do? Jesus said, look at me hanging there for you, bleeding, having been tortured for you, and believe that if you put your trust in me, I'll give you the miracle of salvation. That's the condition. Whosoever believes in him. Finally, the consequence of salvation shall not perish, but have everlasting life. What do you get in the miracle package? You get far too much for me to talk about in a single sermon. It would take a long series to tell you what you get in salvation. Right now, I want to tell you that in that verse, it's wrapped up in a single phrase, eternal life. It means from the moment you put your trust in what Christ did for you, life begins. You say, but I'm already on the planet. That's your physical existence. That's temporary. You came into this world and sooner or later you're leaving. That's not life. That's temporary physical existence. One day there'll be a headstone at a grave site with your name on it. I know you don't want to think about it, but it's coming. Have your name on it. There'll be a number that is a date, a dash, and a date. That's not life, that's physical existence. Shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. It's talking about not only existing on this planet, but having life through Jesus Christ, having a relationship. And the promise is, when that one starts, it will never end. I'll be in relationship with Jesus 1,000 years from now. Everlasting life. In his presence, in whose presence is fullness of joy. that's in the hereafter. But here and now, he gives me true meaning for my physical existence. He gives me divine purpose here. He gives me forgiveness here. He gives me a guilt-free life here. He gives me direction when I'm lost here. He gives me hope when I'm hopeless here. He gives me a future when people write me off here. Life begins here, but it never ends. Life gets you through this world. And the trick is getting out of this world alive, because this one is something else. But when you're alive in Christ, you have everything you need for time and everything you need for eternity. And whosoever believes in him, the condition, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. The consequence, salvation is a miracle.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's Destined for Victory message, The Miracle of Salvation. You know, almost every day we hear from people who are listening to us for the first time, and it strikes me that there may be some of you who really don't know much about Destined for Victory. So I've invited Pastor Paul into the studio for just a moment. Pastor Paul, thank you for coming. Tell us about Destined for Victory and why you believe this is an important ministry.
Yes, Wayne, I believe with my whole heart that Destined for Victory is a God thing. In 2011, I did not have a radio ministry, didn't have a media ministry, and I wasn't sure I would ever have one. But the Lord showed me in no uncertain terms that he wasn't done using my ministry to reach the world. Now we're reaching people on more than 400 radio stations. We're reaching people on the internet. We now have YouTube presence. And I believe God's going to help us use every form of media to share the life-changing message of Jesus Christ with the world.
You know, I love radio, and it's amazing how God puts people in front of the radio at just the right moment to hear the word that they need to hear in their life at that time.
He certainly does. I've heard from people who said, literally, I heard from someone who said, I was taking my children to school and I was going to come home and kill myself.
Oh, no.
And when I got home, I turned on the radio and you were saying, don't give up. Whatever you do, don't give up. And the Lord used that particular broadcast to change this person's life. And they wrote in to testify, I'm alive because of Destined for Victory. That's the kind of thing God does. And I'm so excited about us using these forms of preaching the gospel so that others' lives are changed as well.
Well, thanks for that encouraging word, Pastor Paul. You know, testimonies like the one we just shared remind me that Destined for Victory is making the most of what it has, taking the blessings of God and using them to bless others. But we can't do that without your help. Your gifts make it possible for stories like this to be told, for lives to be changed, and in some cases, saved. Whether you're a current donor or someone who has given to Destined for Victory in the past, we want you to know that your donations are having an eternal impact. As our way of saying thanks for your generous gift today, we'll be happy to send you a copy of Pastor Paul's booklet, 7 Pounds of Grace. One of the gifts Jesus came to give you is the gift of pardon. When you accept Christ as your Savior, you have all of your sins, past, present, and future, wiped out. In 7 Pounds of Grace, Pastor Paul shares the good news that in Christ there is no guilt, no condemnation. The moment you are saved, it is just as if you never sinned. Again, that's 7 Pounds of Grace, our gift to you by request for your generous gift to Destined for Victory. Please call 855-339-5500 to make your pledge over the phone. Or mail your gift to Destined for Victory, Post Office Box 1767, Fremont, California, 94538. You can also make a safe and secure donation from our website, pastorpaul.net.
And when we talk about Easter, we ought to really be talking about that event, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what does that event mean to us? I want to say to you that Easter means freedom.
That's tomorrow in Pastor Paul Shepherd's message, Easter Means Freedom. Until then, remember, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. In Christ, you are destined for victory.